Praise the name of Jesus. Well, men's breakfast is coming up this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Hope you can come, guys. The topic is slow fade to lukewarmness. That doesn't sound like any place I want to go. How about you? All right. He's going to be talking about what that looks like. And sometimes, you know, backsliding is a subtle thing. In fact, most of the time it is. It's like we can end up drifting and then saying, now, how did I get here? How did that happen? It's like you wake up one day and realize how far you've drifted. The Lord wants us to stay close. How many know we're living in a time you need to stay close to the Lord? If anything, draw near, deliberately draw near to God, the Bible says. You have to be deliberate about drawing near to God. And He will draw near to you. Amen. Well, I'm going to piggyback off of what I was sharing on Wednesday night. And I just feel like this is something that we really need to understand. And it's one thing to hear about God. It's another thing to get to know the Lord and to understand His ways, the way that God does things. You know, and the Bible is full of revelation, amen, and understanding of how God deals with the people, for example. I believe America needs to wake up while we have opportunity. Amen. And we need, as God's people, we need to humble ourselves and pray. Amen. And seek His face. Draw near to God. Amen. And turn from our wicked ways. And then the Lord said, I will hear from heaven, right? Forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. God wants to heal America, but it begins with you and I returning to our Father. Amen. Our God. And it begins with a change of heart, a direction. It's easy to get caught up in the things of this life. And the enemy has a lot of detours that he makes available to us, even in a day. We have to really be on alert. And how many know that we can't see clearly unless we're filled with the light of Christ? Amen. So God gives us His Spirit. When you are born again, you're a child of God. God deposits His Spirit within your heart. Amen? And His Spirit within you cries out, Abba, Father. Amen? We begin as a babe that's just, you know, thirsting, right, for the milk. You want to grow. You want to learn. You want to grow up. It's an interesting that when we're kids, we're always trying to play grown-up. Why? Because God put it in your heart that you can't remain a child all your life. Amen. You've got to grow up. And sometimes we're in a hurry to grow up. But kids understand that there are benefits to being an adult. Amen. However, don't be in a hurry to become an adult because there's also challenges and troubles that come with that as well. Amen. But God wants His children to grow and to become strong and to be productive. So that we're in a place where spiritually we can reproduce. Amen. Bear fruit. So the Lord wants us to bear fruit. And we know that we cannot bear fruit in and of ourselves. It's not like I'm going to act more loving today. Right? I'm going to act more peaceful today. I'm going to act more joyful today. I need to be more loving today, peaceful today, joyful today. And the love and the joy and the peace comes from the Lord Himself. It's out of my life that I want Jesus to shine. Amen. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. When we're born again, God deposits in us an anointing. Okay? The anointing is the Spirit of God within the believer. And the anointing of God is that which proves someone is a child of God or a vessel for the Lord. So the title of the message today is, what is the anointing? What is the anointing? And so God wants to mark His people and set them apart so that they would go and represent Him in this world. And so in the New Testament, again, every true believer is possessed by the Holy Spirit. And therefore has the anointing deposited in him or her. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So here we see Spirit of God is what? Spirit of Christ. All right? The Holy Spirit, again, is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. So when we talk about Jesus being in my heart, amen, it's the Spirit of the Son, amen, that God puts within us. He sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And we are then marked by the Spirit or the anointing that we are His vessels. All right? And so when God chooses a vessel, He chooses a vessel with a purpose. All right? Not just to sit around and play video games all day long. Amen. But God has a mission for every one of us. And God has given each one of us a window of opportunity, all right, in this life to fulfill our purpose, our God-given purpose. So in Colossians 1:26, it says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So the anointing is a sign that you and I have been marked and set aside by God for a given purpose. Now, in the book of James, when we pray, we're instructed as to how to pray for the sick, all right? In James 5:14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." The word anointing means to smear or rub on. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So there is a process of using natural things, amen, that are connected to the spiritual. So anointing with oil is not an insignificant thing. We're instructed to anoint with oil and pray over someone, right, in the name of the Lord. So the anointing oil is more than symbolic. There is spiritual significance. Same thing with laying on of hands. God chooses to use natural vessels, amen, to heal the sick, right? To also, as God gave apostolic authority, amen, to the apostles to lay their hands upon people, and as they prayed, they would receive the Holy Spirit. They were just natural vessels, but the treasure was of God. The treasure was within them, all right? And so it was God flowing through a natural vessel. So there's a connection between the natural and the spiritual. What we do in the natural matters in the spiritual. That's why we're to be good stewards over what God has entrusted us, even naturally, because there's a connection to the spiritual, all right? If we don't learn how to behave ourselves and submit to the governing authorities, as long as it's not an unlawful order, come on, somebody, amen, then how do we expect God to entrust us with greater authority in things that have to do with Him and His purposes, you see? We have to behave ourselves in the natural first, amen, in order to be trusted with the eternal. That's how it works. There is a connection, once again, between the spiritual and the natural. Some people say, well, this is spiritual and that's natural. This is my Christian life and this is my other life. No. No, actually, God wants to supernaturalize, amen, the natural. We have this treasure where? In an earthen vessel or a clay jar. So, just like laying on of hands, it's more than a symbolic gesture. And again, what we do in the natural is connected to the spiritual. And again, the anointing is what marks us and sets us apart as God's children. And the anointing is how God carries His word. Amen? How He carries His healing, His deliverance, His miracles. All right? His refreshing. How many have been refreshed by the word of God? Amen? That is spoken by someone, amen, who is operating in the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is actually flowing through. Amen? Because you and I, apart from the Lord, can do nothing. We can't refresh anybody, but the refreshing is the one who's in us. And God wants us to submit ourselves, bow our soul, and place ourselves under His authority. And when we're under God's authority, then we can exercise authority in the earth realm on God's behalf. So submitting to God means I bow my soul to God and I yield to the Holy Spirit, who then will instruct me to do things in the natural, and then He'll confirm His word with the accompanying sign, such as laying hands on the sick and they recover. I'm just laying natural hands, but it's the Spirit of God that's doing the work. Amen. So in the Old Testament, God used a special anointing oil to anoint prophets and priests and kings, right? And even all the articles of the temple were to be set apart. Because remember, it's the anointing that sets you apart. It marks you as a child of God, as a vessel of His. And so everything had to be sanctified with blood and oil, just like we have to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Amen? Before we can receive the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will not dwell, what, in an unclean temple. Amen. So if you want to be filled, you must first repent, confess your sins, amen, to God, and let God cleanse you, wash you in the blood of Jesus, amen, which then qualifies you, sets you up to receive an anointing. So the greater the consecration of the vessel, the greater use we are to the Master. The more we're willing to yield, the more we're willing to die to ourselves and commit ourselves to the will of God, the greater the effectiveness we'll have when it comes to the things or the ministry of God. Amen? So the Lord is looking for someone who will cooperate. God's not going to do it independent of you. He's going to call you and I and equip us, and then we have to go and by faith, if you will, activate the gift of God within us by taking the step of obedience when God tells you to pray for somebody or talk to somebody, right? When we step out and do what God tells us to do or say what God tells us to say, right? Then God will confirm, amen, His word through you. And there will be effect. Because what God sets forth accomplishes, amen, His purposes. When God is speaking, it's going to bring transformation. It's going to bring life to those who are being saved, amen, but death to those who reject the word of God. So we know that God used this anointing oil, this special mixture, amen, to anoint His prophets and priests and kings. And so we see this when God had set His seal on David. In 1 Samuel 16:10, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." Verse 12, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What happened? He was anointed with oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and he went to Ramah. He was done with his assignment. He moved on to his next. All right. So what was happening here? God was marking David as His vessel, setting him apart for His purposes. And so David declared in Psalms 23, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." What is the cup we're talking about? It is the life of Christ. It's the life of the Spirit, amen, that dwells within us, that's released out of us. Hallelujah. As we are anointed by the Spirit, amen, then there will be an outflow of the Spirit of God. Now, David was considered to be a man after God's own heart. All right? Read that in Acts chapter 13, I believe, verse 20. Because he was willing to do all of God's will. Do you understand? There's a connection between obedience and usefulness and a flow of the anointing. People are asking God to give them, God, anoint me, God, use me. Are we willing to do what God tells us to do? Sometimes, you see, we're looking for the big thing and God says, you haven't been faithful with the little thing yet. So we need to learn how to be faithful every day. Small steps of obedience every day. Say, Lord, what are we going to do together today? Not what am I going to do for you, but what are we going to do together today? We're walking this out together today. Amen. I'm yoked together with Jesus. Amen. And there's times when he has to give me a little boost, amen, and pull a little bit. Because God wants us to develop and to grow, amen, and become like him. To become stronger, amen, so that we're more effective, more useful to the master. So all true born again believers, again, they have the Holy Spirit deposited in them. However, the anointing is not released or manifested through them until the believer responds in faith to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to learn how to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that true? You can have an unction. You can have a prompting. You can be pressed in your spirit to do something. But if you do nothing, nothing will happen. You have to be willing to take the step of obedience. And then God will meet you in the place of obedience. Once again, because God will be where he told you to be. Amen. And he ordains that which he approves, right? What he approves. And he always approves his will for you, his word for you. So it's by obedience to God's will that the manifestations of the Spirit occur. Understand, sometimes we're asking God to give us something that we already possess. When we pray, the Bible says you misbelieve in your heart that you receive it. Amen? And if you believe, then you will act upon it. Remember Elisha again, he had to act upon by faith, amen, the promise. Because God, through Elijah, told him that if you are here when I leave, you will receive that double portion. Remember the mantle fell? And Elisha had to pick it up, didn't he? And he didn't just pick it up and say, isn't that lovely? He did something with it. He struck the water and says, where is the God of Elijah? There had to be an action. And God confirmed his word and his promise to him, amen, with that first miracle. If we want God to use us, we have to learn how to be faithful, how to be obedient to the promptings of the Spirit. To whom much is given, much is required. When Jesus said, if you're not faithful in that which is least, why should God give you that which is superior, right? So what does the anointing do? Again, it is really the Spirit of God in us. Amen. And as we submit to the Spirit and we obey his promptings, God will manifest himself, reveal himself through us to others. I'll give you an example. There's times when I've heard people say, you know, I felt like really God was pressing me to say this word. And I just kept, I don't know. Is this really of you? And so they delayed, all right, to respond. And then somebody else gives the same word. So God wanted you to know that was me talking to you. Okay, you'll have other opportunities. Don't feel crushed about that, but learn from it. That God wants to use us. Do you know we should be praying? All of us should be praying that we may prophesy. God wants to speak through us. Yeah. Not everybody is a preacher, but God will speak through us. Amen. God wants us to be ministers of his. Every one of us here is a minister. And God gives you a certain circle of influence. Amen. And people in your life that he wants you to minister to. But you got to be willing to respond to his promptings when he's pressing you to do something or say something. And then when you do that, God will confirm his word. Oh, I'm glad I obeyed that instruction. Was it comfortable? No, I was kind of a little scared actually at first. But I stepped out in faith and God met me. Amen. And then there was no fear. Mm-hmm. You see, once again, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's mastery over fear. It's fear under control. So there's times even Paul said, I come to you with fear and trembling. Now, he was no wimp. Amen. Nobody could do what Paul did unless the Lord was with him. He was a strong man of faith. Amen. But naturally, he did not have self-confidence. So he was in a position where he would rely upon the anointing, rely upon the power of God. So God could use him. But he had to overcome his own insecurities by doing contrary to what he might have been feeling like at the time. That means there's times when you're not going to feel like doing what God says, but you have to learn how to deny yourself and do what God says, even if you don't feel like it. And once you do what God tells you to do, contrary to your feelings, the good feelings will follow. And any insecurity or fear that you might have had will disappear. Why? Because God will intervene. But he's looking for someone who will be willing to submit their will to his will and deny themselves. See, there's a part in all of us, isn't there, that doesn't want to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. So we have to put that part of us to death. We have to deny that part of us. Now understand that in the Old Testament high priest, okay, needed to be set apart as well, right? By the anointing. And here in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 9, it says, he put the turban on his head, and also on the turban on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, this golden plate said something, and it said, holiness unto the Lord, which meant, this is my seal on this person that they are going to be my priest. Amen. And set apart for me. All right. So understand that when God seals you, he seals you. Amen. He crowns you. And then he what? Anoints you, which sets you apart. Moses took the anointing oil, verse 10, and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. Again, the anointing is what sanctified or set the articles apart, even the vessels, the people. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the laver and its base to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Now remember, they had a headdress that they would wear. So the anointing was not to be on the flesh. It was to be on the mitre. Amen. And that crown or that plate, that gold plate, said holiness unto the Lord. Do you know that the Lord marks his people? The Lord marks you. If you're a child of God, you have the mark of the anointing that you've been set apart for him and for a purpose. And it's up to you what you're going to do with what God has invested in you. Amen. For the gifts and the callings are without repentance. Now, how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, we worship the Lord in spirit, don't we? Today, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have a connection, a direct line, if you will, to the Father. Amen. And so as we worship the Lord and we come before his presence, Psalms 100 with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Amen. Our hearts are filled because we're yielding to the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God will never force his way on you. You have to yield and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Mm-hmm. It's like working for a boss. You have to yield yourself to your boss. All right? You may not feel like it, but you know you need to. If you want to keep that job, amen, you better yield to that boss. Amen? And you have to understand that that boss has authority in that area. Amen? So it is. The Holy Spirit is the authority of God in us as we yield to him. All right? He's going to work through us. But he doesn't force himself upon us. All right. He waits for us to yield and to say, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I want you to lead me this day in the way I should go. Lord, I want your will to be done as in heaven, Father, so here on the earth. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, the Father in me does the works. You see, we're united together in the Godhead in Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. And if Christ is in you, it means the Spirit of God is in you. That means you have the anointing in you. But in order for that anointing to be released out of you, you must respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in you and be willing to obey him. And as you learn to deny yourself, God can use you in a greater way. Come on. And it's amazing what God does if he has a vessel that's humbled. It's allowing him to be Lord. Because every knee is going to bow to Jesus. Amen. Every knee will bow before him. But we choose to bow now. We willingly bow now. There will be those who refuse to bow now, but they will bow then. Uh-oh, I don't want to be that. But we bow now. And we declare that he is Lord. All his enemies will fall and declare that he is Lord. Amen. He is going to reign over all the earth. He has been given the name above every name. Amen. Far above all principality and power and every ruler. Amen. Every name that is named. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. And he's coming to reign. Hallelujah. As King of kings and Lord of lords. Every Lord. Amen. Every little K will bow before the big K. So we have this treasure, praise God, in us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, how many know this one? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not because we're so super spiritual. As a matter of fact, God can't use super spiritual people because it's the Holy Spirit that makes you spiritual. And he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Uh-huh. Obey the promptings of the Spirit. But he says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellence of the power, what is that? Dunamis, the power of God. All right? It's of him and not of us. So the anointing is the power of God within us. The power is released out of us as we yield and respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It was more than just words. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The anointing is what marks you as being different from the people of the world. Not better, by the way, or superior. All right. The anointing is what makes you spiritual. It's not of you. It's not of me. But it's the anointing that makes me spiritual and makes me different. I've been separated. I've been marked by God, set apart for a purpose. So I'm not going to fit in the model of this world, this present world system that's in rebellion to God. And if you try to conform to the pattern of this world, you'll never do it if you're a child of God. Why? Because you're different. You've been set apart. You've been marked by God. John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Speaking to his disciples, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. 1 Peter 4, 1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. That's what God has called us to. We've been set apart for the will of God. Somebody say amen. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness and lusts and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Do I have a witness in here? That's what happened to my friends. Amen. They're like, what happened to you? I'm going to tell you, Jesus happened, man. And I am happy. And here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Hallelujah. I was set free. Hallelujah. And so if you haven't tasted, you're not going to know how good. You have to come and you have to drink. You have to taste and see. I've heard about that. Well, why don't you come and take a good drink, if you will. Open your heart to Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me. Now listen, to those who oppose God's servants, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So again, a true child of God, if you're a child of God, you'll never fit into the pattern of this world. But see, the enemy will use the world because he wants to choke the life out of us. He wants to get us distracted and detoured and filling our lives full of things that are vain and empty and worthless. Are you hearing me? So that we're bearing no fruit unto eternal life because the days, the hours, the moments are fleeing. Amen. And God wants his people to be walking with him now. Amen. Because the day is going to come and we don't know when that hour is, but Jesus Christ will return. Amen. And he's coming for a bride. He's coming for those who are looking for him. Amen. He will return a second time without sin unto salvation. And we need to be ready to meet the Lord. Come on. We should be occupying until he comes. We should be about our Father's business. Somebody say amen. Amen. We should be yielding to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, what are we going to do today? What is on the agenda for today? I'm willing to set my agenda aside so that I might do yours. Now hear this. Jesus had many followers, but few friends. The same is true today. People follow Jesus because of the free stuff. The fishes and the loaves and life was good. But when Jesus spelled out what it meant to be a true follower of his, to be actually a friend, it means that I must obey him. Why? Because Jesus said that. Amen. He said, if you want to be my friend, you're going to have to obey me. The level of the Lord's sanctification to the Father, amen, was an example for us. Jesus walked a completely, if you will, crucified life. He lived selflessly every day. In fact, he didn't have any agenda. He had to set that aside. And he had to do what he saw the Father doing. Right? And he had to speak what he saw the Father speaking. And the Lord is actually calling us to join him in that same mission today. As representatives of him who have received the marking, amen, and the anointing that sets us apart for his purposes. And we need to learn how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor, denying that part of me that would rebel against the known will of God. In John 15:14, he says, you are my friends if, that means their condition, if you do whatever I command you. So the more sanctified you become, the fewer friends you may have. Even among certain Christians. Why? Because you will only be compatible with people who are willing to walk where you walk. Mm-hmm. I used to wonder, Lord, is there something wrong with me? I was so in love with Jesus, wanting to live my life for Jesus, you know. All I wanted to talk about was Jesus. And even a lot of the Christians seemed to be creeped out by that. I was like, Lord, is there something wrong with me? Well, they knew I was exciting and I was a new believer, amen. And yeah, I probably did a few nutty things like we do when we're kids, right, in the Lord. But they should have been celebrating that and saying, praise God. There's a new creation here, amen. And God is working in this individual's heart and he's all excited about the Lord and he wants to live for Jesus and I used to keep saying, I can't think of anything better to talk about than the Lord. You know, when you get with people that just love Jesus, it's so good because you can sit around for hours and hours and talk about Jesus. But if people don't want to go there with you, well, they're not going to get too close to you because they may be divided in their affections. They may want the world, and yet I want Jesus too. And how many know you can't have it both ways? You got to be all in, right, brother? He said it this morning. We got to be all in. God's not going to have lukewarmness. And if you want to be effective, if you want to bear the fruit, if you will, of the Spirit, you're going to have to yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and learn how to deny yourself in doing so, so that you can be entrusted by the Lord with greater anointing. Do you want more? We say, Lord, give me more. Amen. I want more, Lord. Well, be faithful in what you have. That's where it begins. Yeah, and I begin to realize that, wow, the Lord finally, he's the one that kind of confirmed in my heart that you're doing all right, son. You know, you're going to make mistakes, but don't lose your zeal. Don't let anybody snuff out the fire in you. Fan it into flame. Come on, how many, we need some people on fire for God in this world, amen? God wants his children, his people on fire for him. Amen. So we got to be drinking deeply from the wells of salvation. We got to be gluttons for the presence of God. Amen. We want to be people that just walk in the anointing every day. Amen. Yield it to God. Amen. And being a vessel for God every day. Amen. And that's how people are going to know there's something different about us. I ran into some friends years later. And they knew I was already insane, but then they thought I really lost it now. But they saw such a change in me that it just spoke of the grace of God. It spoke of the goodness of God, you know, how God had saved me. And now God was, I had just the other day, somebody else, a friend from high school, I heard that he just recently gave his heart to the Lord and he got baptized and he's all excited about the Lord. And he asked about me and he says, well, he's a preacher out in Washington. And he just chuckled. Because this guy I used to run with, you know. But that's so awesome because then you see the difference in God. You see what God does. Amen. And how many hate sin? You know, if you have the anointing in you, the Spirit in you, then you hate sin. You can't live comfortably in sin anymore. You want nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. You're running into the light. Hallelujah. And people will still, even within Christendom, will think you're weird because you're just so consecrated and set apart for the Lord. That's how God wants it. He wants us to have eyes for no other gods, no other lovers. He wants to be number one in our life. Amen. We say, put God first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Above everything else, seek the Lord and his will, his purpose for your life. And then he said, I'll take care of your needs. I'll take care of making provision for you. If you got God, amen, and you're walking with God, you don't have the fear and the worries about what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? We just say, God's going to take care of it. Amen? Because he promised to, and I'm going to trust him for that. Ah, so good to lean back in his arms and let go. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank God we have access to his throne of grace. Our great high priest, amen, has gone into the heavens before us with his own blood. Hallelujah. Amen. On our behalf. So we can now, by the blood of Christ, amen, come with confidence to the throne of grace. And we can draw deeply from the wells of Yeshua, Jesus' salvation. Amen. And to them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. You have an anointing. If you're a child of God, you need to learn how to yield to the Spirit of God. Yield to the anointing. Amen. The greater the consecration, the greater the fruitfulness, the greater the master can use you. Amen. And that is so awesome because here we have no continuing city. but we look for one to come. We only have a certain window of opportunity. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Everyone will see Jesus someday. You need to make sure you have salvation first. You must be born again. And when you're born again, God will deposit His Spirit in you, and He'll mark you as His child. Amen? And then begins the journey of sanctification, being set apart, learning how to walk in the Spirit, and bearing fruit unto eternal life. Isn't that awesome? As it is in 2 Peter 1 and 3, as His divine power, again, dunamis, has given us to all us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Wow. What does He say? All things. His divine power, the anointing, the Spirit of God in you, has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It's not about this natural world, amen? But in the Spirit, you can be rich towards God, amen? And God can bless you with financial things, but it's not your goal in life, amen? It's to pursue worldly things or earthly things. But you want to pursue the Lord and His purpose for your life, knowing that you have been separated for a purpose, a God-given purpose. And now is the time to make up your mind to repent and say, Lord, I'm going to give my life to You. I want to start living for You. And I want You, Lord, to put Your Spirit within me. And I want You to mark me as Your child. I want to be saved, first of all. Amen. And then, Lord, I want You to teach me how to walk with You every day. What it looks like to walk with You in the Spirit, to yield myself to You. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I have a joy that I never had before. I have a love that is beyond explanation. Amen? A perfect love that casts out all fear. Amen? I have peace, praise God, that like a river, peace that passes all understanding. I have peace with God in my heart. Amen? It's so good to be in right standing with the Lord. And God wants you to be there. Amen? He wants all of us to be in right standing with Him. He wants us to be governed by that peace, that internal peace that He gives us. How many know the peace of God can guard your heart and your mind? He can keep you from losing it, literally. In this sin-sick world we're living in, you need somebody bigger than yourself. Amen? And so we don't have to turn to dope or to inferior things. We turn to the Lord. Amen. We return to our Creator through Jesus Christ, the door, the way, the shepherd that leads us into the green pasture, into the presence. Hallelujah. Amen. By way of His own blood, He has now opened the heavens. Hallelujah. We can now come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus, our great high priest, accomplished for us. Hallelujah. Once and for all. No longer does a lamb need to be slain to cover my sin. Amen. He, Jesus, once and for all, did that for me. Open, hallelujah, the heavens. And even though we may be possessed by the Holy Spirit, again, the anointing or the power of God is not released or manifested through us unless we are willing to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that is the message for today, guys. I hope that you're hearing it and that God is working in your hearts to create a hunger and a desire for a greater consecration. Amen. That means the Lord's going to challenge you to give up certain things that are not necessarily sinful, but they're unnecessary or they're a hindrance to you. You got to get rid of the weights so you can run with perseverance. All right. And the greater the sanctification, the greater usefulness you will be to the Master. And God wants all of us, amen, to share in His glory. He wants us to have an abundant welcome into His kingdom. Jesus said it. store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Amen. Because they're eternal. Would you bow your heads? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for your word. Your word is true. Lord, we thank you that you would consider us even, be mindful of us. Lord, that you were willing to go to the cross for us, to bear the weight of our sin, Lord. Lord, we're thankful that you've made it possible today for us to come before you by way of your own precious blood. And Lord, we ask you for grace today. We ask you, Lord, that you would release in us the life that is there. Lord, we want to learn how to walk with you, how to yield, how to walk in the Holy Spirit every day. And Lord, we don't know how to do that. So we ask you to help us, to teach us. Lord, simply you're telling us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. You said, where I am, there my servant will be also. Lord, we want to be where you are. We want to walk where you walk, Lord. We want to say what you're saying. We want to pray what you're praying. Lord, we want to do what you're doing. We want to be found faithful, steady to the end. And we know, Lord God, we don't have the strength to do it in ourselves. So we ask you, Lord, to strengthen each one of us with might and inner man by your Spirit, your indwelling Spirit. And help us, Lord, to learn how to lean upon you every day for the power we need, the grace we need to accomplish the mission you've given us. As you have marked us and set us apart for your purposes. Lord, my prayer is that every one of us will understand how precious the time is and how fleeting it is and how important it is for us to make up our mind to repent, truly repent, and consecrate ourselves to you, set ourselves apart for you, and be a willing vessel for you that you can delight in. Lord, we want to be like David. We want to be a man after your own heart, willing to do all of your will. I ask you, Lord, change my heart. Lord, I want to be like you. Root out of me, Lord, anything that is not of you. Lord, I ask you to topple in me any idols, that I'll only have eyes for you. Lord, that nothing will take your place in my heart. You said you shall have no other gods before me. And Lord, I don't want any other gods. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father. If you're here today and Jesus Christ is not in you, you're not his child yet. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to him and confess your sins to him and ask him to forgive you and to come into your heart. He wants to mark you with his anointing and set you apart and raise you up for him to live out the purpose of God for your life. You see, God has a purpose for every one of us. Even when we didn't know him, he still had a purpose for us. And he wants you to know that purpose. And the only way to know your purpose is to know the mind of your Creator, which he will give you by his Spirit when you're willing to open up your heart and let him in. Hallelujah. I'd like to just pray this prayer and I'd ask everybody to stand up. I'm going to pray this together. Out loud, I'd like you to repeat after me. If you're here today and you want to give your heart to Jesus, simply make the decision today. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Christ, that you are the only way to salvation, that you shed your blood on the cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, I realize I cannot save myself. So I ask you to save me, forgive me, cleanse me from all sin. Come into my heart and make your home in me. Make me your child. Change my mind to conform to yours. In Jesus' name, I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that God raised you from the dead, and that Jesus is now Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you prayed that prayer today, maybe the first time, or you recommitted your life, you need to tell somebody. Tell somebody. Amen. And as you confess the Lord before men, he confesses you before the Father in heaven. Get over that part of you, amen, that says, I don't want to do that. And do it, amen. Thank you, Father God.